Y'all give Potter's Wheel a big hand.
Man.
Half of it came out, didn't it? Amen. Just want to thank you guys for having us, and it's good to be here with you, and hopefully we'll sing or say something that will bless your heart. And I've already had a good time here this morning. I believe that God wants us to have a good time. I believe that when his folks get together, I think we should. But whenever we go to sing, we're serious about what we sing about, because Jesus is the reason we're here. He's the reason that we're alive today. I know that he's kept me safe for many years now, and I just thank him for saving me at age 17. And have I been perfect? No, I haven't. But God has forgiven me, and I thank him for that. Hopefully we'll sing something today that's going to bless your heart. I know, let me go ahead and tell you who, Rick, real quickly, hadn't ever done it this way really, but who we are. My name's Larry Johnson. I'm from Troy, North Carolina. Next to me right here is Miss Stacy Branch. She's from Robbins, and I think most of y'all know Trouble over here. So
I have a new name, yeah. Trouble.
But it's Miss Wendy Smith over here, and I just appreciate both of these gals girls. But they mean a lot to me, and I'm just so thankful that I can have the privilege to minister with them. So we're just gonna sing. How many got saved in here today? Some of them didn't raise a hand. We need to have an altar call. I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. I don't know about it.
Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life, and my sins are washed away. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace.
I was alone in the darkness. I could not find my way. Jesus shined a light on me, and then he turned on my night today. Now I've been saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life, and my sins are washed away. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. When I reach that city, the gates swing open wide. I'm gonna sing redemption story, how he brought me from the other side. And when I reach that city, the gates swing open wide. I'm gonna sing redemption story, how he brought me from the other side. Now I've been saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life, and my sins are washed away. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. Is in the book of life, and my sins are washed away. Saved by his marvelous grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. Oh yes, I'm saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life, and my sins are washed away. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace.
grace, you should have a smile on your face, because that means you're going to heaven.
You made a rhyme, didn't you? You made a rhyme, didn't you?
I made a rhyme.
You sure? Amen. Thank you, Lord. It gets sweeter every day. Amen.
Trust him, the more I love him, nothing good for me he'll deny. The longer I know him, the better I can show him. I couldn't stop now if I tried. Oh, it gets sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter as the moments fly. His love is richer, deeper, fuller, sweeter. Sweeter, sweeter, sweeter as the days go by.
Oh, the moment he saved me, his good grace he gave me. He placed his love down deep in my heart. His great joy in knowing with him I am going, and never more from him to depart.
Oh, it gets sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter as the moments fly. Love is richer, deeper, fuller, sweeter, 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 sweeter as the days go by.
Oh, it gets sweeter
as the days go by. It gets sweeter as the moments fly. His love is richer, deeper, fuller, sweeter, 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 sweeter as the days go by. His love is richer, deeper, fuller, sweeter, 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 sweeter as the days go by. Days go by, days go by, days go by.
I never know what we're going to do.
No, we don't. We don't ever know. But we make a set before we come up here, but we don't ever stick to it. Because just, you know, as I was sitting there this morning and listening to the preacher as he was starting everything, he mentioned more than once, you know, thanking the Lord for everything that he's done, and thank the Lord for this or that. And I just really feel like we need to do a different song than we had planned. Because we have so much to thank God for. We have so much to thank God for. Even in the hard times, if we'll lean on him, then he'll allow us the blessing in our heart of comfort and grace. And that's a blessing. You know, this year's been a hard one already. It's been a very tough year.
Amen.
But through that, God has grown me. Because I've allowed him to. I've leaned on him. I've dug in his word the days that I just wanted to cry all day and be depressed. He drew me to his word. And in that word, he encouraged me. And that's a blessing. That's a blessing. And, you know, things have been hard. But I've got a lot of good things in my life, too. And that's the things that we cling to. And God is the greatest thing. He is the greatest thing in my life. He is my best friend. He is my Savior. He's my comforter. He is my everything. And I'm thankful for that. So I just want to say this song. I just love this song. Because it says, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. But the second verse specifically. Because it says, I know I'm not wealthy and these clothes are not new. I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you. And to me, that's all that matters, though the world may not see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. I just love this song.
Looks upon me as I struggle along. They say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart, I'm rejoicing.
There's a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
And these clothes, they're not new. And I don't have much money. Oh, but Lord, I have you. And to me, that's all that matters. Though the world may not see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing.
Sing it with us.
There's a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
Stacy's going to sing a beautiful song for you, recorded by the Hemp Hills. I don't know if you remember them or not. Consider the Lilies.
There's not a king with more splendor.
Bless the Lord. Amen. Amen.
Isn't God good?
Yes, He is.
He has brought us through so many things. Give Him praise for that. Can't walk without Him holding my hand.
Number one would surely be me, and I thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought I could build on life's leading sand. But I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Well, I thought I could do a lot on my own, and I thought I could make it the day long. I thought of myself as a mighty big man, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Well, I can't without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high and the valley's too wide. Down on my knees, that's where I learn how to stand, 'cause I can't holding my hand. Well, I think I'll make Jesus my all in all. And when I'm in trouble, on His name I'll call. And if I didn't trust Him, I'd be less than a man, 'cause I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Well, I can't without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high and the valley's too wide. Down on my knees, that's where I learn how to stand, 'cause I can't bless you, Lord. You know, I can't do it. I can't walk without Him holding my hand. I wouldn't want to walk without Him holding my hand. I know at age 17, I was doing something in somewhere I shouldn't have been doing, shouldn't have been to start with. And I said, God, if you get me out of this, you just get me home.
get me out of this, and I promise I'll serve you. That was on a Saturday night. Sunday morning, I couldn't wait for the preacher to hush because I had something to take care of. And you know what? He did exactly what I asked him to do. He met me right down there. And I've tried my best ever since to serve him. But he loved me enough to bring me up out of that. And you know, it may not be a situation like that that you're in today. It may be something else. It may be something spiritual. It may be something physical. But I'm telling you, God, you hold on to his hand and he can bring you up out of whatever it is you're in. I heard a man say one time, the preacher was asking him, he was in the hospital, and he asked him what was his last request. He said, "I want to be buried on my old John Deere tractor." He said, "Why?" He said, "Because I've never been in a hole that thing couldn't get me out of. But I'm going to tell you what, Jesus can pull you up a whole lot better than any old John Deere tractor, okay? He can bring you up out of anything that you're in today. Anything. It doesn't matter. We just got to trust him. That's what he wants. He wants us to trust him. He gave us a free will, people. And he wants us to use that free will, okay? He could very well force us to bow down and worship him. And you know what? One day we will. Everybody, every knee will bow. And that's word. But he wants us to choose. He wants someone to choose to worship him. He wants us to choose to live for him. Yes, he can. He could make us, but he don't want us like that way. He wants us to choose on our own free will. And he's not going to make you. But if you're here today and you don't know him, if you're here today and you've never trusted God, you've never given your life to him, today is the day. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. We're not promised tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. I think we're going to do one more for right now. And this song is the gospel in the whole, it's the whole gospel in one song. It talks about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And every part of that had to happen, and Jesus was faithful in doing that for us. And I'm just so glad that he took it upon himself to do that. He died for you. He defeated hell and death. And he arose on the third day for us, for all of us. He did that for us.
Since he had taken his last breath, sorrow filled the air. The birds stopped singing everywhere. Nothing seemed the same. The clouds began to weep. The rain.
It was the second day in the tomb where he lay. As Satan smiled with glee, he said, "I have the victory. You said you come to save, oh, but now you're in the grave."
Very early that third morn, before the dawn had come, demons danced around, chanting, "Satan, you have won."
But God, in all of His greatness, He stood up from the throne and nodded to the angel to roll away the stone. And as the sun began to rise, He opened up His eyes. The Father turned and said, "Oh, my son's no longer dead." And the angels filled the sky. The heavens shout. The demons cried as the King walks out. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou
of John Hagee, y'all give the Lord a hand in His house. Y'all give Potter's Wheel a hand too. Great big hand. I hope you understand and hear just the words of God in them songs. That's why I love music that is scriptural, that's just straight from the Bible. I love hearing that. It paints a new picture. It helps lift us up into the presence of God. It prepares us for His Word. I've often heard it said that the music plows your heart so God can plant the seed of His Word deep in it, and it'll take root and bring fruit. Amen? This morning, if you will, take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy. Last week, I said we'd be going to this sermon. We just touched on it briefly last week. As the Gideons come and give us some examples of how God's Word works in people's lives, and I just want you to turn there. It's a familiar passage, and I think sometimes it's so familiar, and we use it, and we quote, especially verses 16 and 17, that we fail to just realize the benefit we have, that God created us in such a way that He could use language. He give us language. Hey, guess what? Words matter. He give us language so that He could communicate His truths to us. And He give us Word made in flesh, Jesus Christ, so that we could have a full revelation of who God is. And that's the blessings that we have. If you will look with me there today, I'm going to read verses 16 and 17 and pray, and we'll jump in here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, "All Scripture's inspired, breathed out by God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God," or the person of God, "may be adequate, equipped for every good work." Let us pray. Kind Father, as we just look at the purpose that You've given us, Your Scripture, as we look at the benefits we have in it, I pray, Lord, that we would want to remain tied to the foundational principles that Your Word has planted in our hearts, and would continue, Lord, to learn from Your Word, that we may not only grow in spiritual maturity, but that, Lord, also we'd be equipped, we'd be prepared, we'd be ready for every situation that we enter into. Lord, we know and we understand that all who seek to live a godly life will be persecuted. But Lord, we know that You will hold our hand. You'll lift us up. Lord, we know, as Potter's Wheel is just saying, we know that there's no mountain too high, no valley too wide, that Your hand can't lead us through. And Lord, now we just ask that your word would penetrate deep in our hearts, that the Holy Spirit would just convict our consciences. And Lord, as we leave this place, that Lord, we would seek to apply your truths to our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul is writing here and has come to the end of his life. Paul's fixing to pass away. Paul knows it. Timothy is a young Christian that Paul's been mentoring, and Timothy is preaching in a little town called Ephesus. And everything was going pretty good there. Let me read you a few verses, and you can see how kind of the town was, okay? Here's what's going on. Paul says, now, Timothy, I got to go. I'm going on to heaven. Hey, I fought the fight, finished the course. You know, hey, I've kept the faith. I know where I'm going. Guess what? I'm going to receive the crown of righteousness, which the judge, the righteous judge, Jesus Christ. Guess what? Everything that I've looked forward to, I'm going to get. I'm going to stand before Jesus, sanctified. I'm going to see what Jesus saved me to be. I'm going to stand there. I'm going to look in his face. He says, now, you need to continue on here, and I'm going to give you some things to do while you're here in Ephesus. He says, I want you to realize this. Verse 1, in these last days, they're going to be difficult. He says, difficult times will come, and men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Timothy, avoid these men. Can you imagine living in a time like that? Thank the Lord we don't have to deal with that. Amen? But guess what? Paul goes on to say, look, Timothy, anybody that's going to live a godly life is going to be persecuted. You're going to face all that stuff. Paul had already wrote in, when he was writing to Romans, he'd already said that men will suppress the truth. And the wrath of God will be poured out on them. The wrath of God sometimes is simply letting us get what we ask for when we don't follow the truth of God. Now, Paul here in verses 10, in verses 14, and again in verses 7, we don't have time to go through all this, but you need to go back and read this passage with chapter 4 and tie it together. Because he's telling Timothy, look, here's what happens when you don't trust God and his word, but you, that's what we see right here in verse 10, we see it also in verse 14, but you, Timothy, I want you to be different. Here's how you can succeed. Here's how you can look forward to receiving the crown of life. If you love Jesus and you're waiting for him to come. Now, all of us talk about the return of Christ, right? How many of you ready for it? All right? Now, how many of us, we got to be truthful here, we in church. Sometimes, when things is not going our way, we probably wouldn't want Jesus to show up right then because we're not handling things the way Jesus wants us to. Or am I the only one that's guilty of that? Sometimes we need some correction. Sometimes our understanding or the way we're doing things, you know, we might need a little reproof. In other words, have you ever been doing something and you hear Jesus say, what are you thinking? You know, or you're going the wrong way and you're like, I need to turn around. And you're like, no, I believe I can just keep turning, taking right turns. I'll get back where I need to be. Amen. Or we need some instruction so that we can live rightly. Paul says here, look, Timothy, these people that are false teachers, that's what's going on. False teachers are coming. He says right here, they are worming their way into the homes there and they're teaching false things. They bring in things that's not true. Says into these homes, into these women, and that's a whole nother story. But in Ephesus, what it was, the men is out working. Things is going on. These false teachers come. People are looking for answers. Their life hurt. Things was going on that was wrong. How about us today? I mean, life is not easy. Things is going wrong. And false teachers will sneak into your home. Here they was knocking on the door. At our homes today, they show up with a ditch witch and they bury a cable to bring internet into your house. Or you turn on the receiver for the satellite. Have you ever thought how much untruth comes into your house? How much comes into our lives? If you don't think it does, just go to a restaurant, sit down, and before you order, look around, see how many people's going like this. Reading. It's a lot easier to get false information than it is to get true information. And this is what is going on right here. And Paul says, look, these are evil men. They are imposters. He says, look, they're going to proceed from bad to worse. I remember my Uncle Rudy, an independent Baptist preacher, who would preach, you know, and get your attention when you weren't listening. He used to say, if y'all keep going this way, it's going to get worse. And he says, I just can't believe it's going to get much worse than it is today. If my Uncle Rudy was alive today, he'd say, I can't believe it's got this bad. Paul says, look, when you don't follow the Word of God, things is going to get worse and worse. To the point that you will be deceived and you will deceive. In other words, you're following false teaching so long that it becomes true for you. Winston Churchill says that a man or a person's desire is more persuasive than a rational argument. The farther you get away from God's truth, the easier it is to say, well, I'm already here. It's just easier to stay here to swim back upstream to get where I need to be. Paul says, look, Timothy, this is what's going on. And he's leaving Timothy there to be the pastor of this church at Ephesus. Verse 14, he says, you, however, in the New American Standard, it's the same phrase as we got in verse 10, but you. That means there's a contrast. Look, here's what everybody else is doing. But you. I love that song you sung a while ago about the blessings that God gives us. Let me ask you this morning. This is the most important question after you saved you'll ever be asked. If you lost everything today, there's absolutely nothing you loved on this earth left, but you knew you had Jesus Christ. Is He enough for you to be happy? That's what Paul's saying. He said, but you, Timothy, you need to continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced of. Things he had learned, Paul goes on to say that you know who you've learned them from. Verse 15 says, and from your childhood you have known the sacred writings in which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. He's talking about the Old Testament scriptures here. But Paul, this is the last letter Paul writes. And as Paul is writing here, we understand that the Old Testament points forward to Christ. And the New Testament explains how Christ fulfilled all the promises of the Old Testament. Peter says it this way. Peter says, also in his letters, he's talking about Paul, speaking in them of these things in which some things hard to understand, which the untaught and the unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. Peter, another apostle, says, look, Paul's writings are equal to the Old Testament's writings. Do you know how much of God's word's true? All of it. The Old Testament and the New Testament. And Paul says, Timothy, look, you know what you have learned. He says the scripture is sufficient to give you wisdom unto salvation, but also give you wisdom so the saved can live being sanctified. Because that's why he says all scripture is God-breathed and profitable. It will help you. God gives it to you for a purpose. We'll get to that in a minute. He says here's five purposes that God's word is beneficial to you. But think about this. He's talking about his grandma and his mama. He's talking about Lois and Eunice. He's already said that in chapter 1. He says, guess what? Your mama and your grandma has laid a foundational work of the Old Testament and gave you some principles. You know how these women are being so deceived when these false teachers come around during the day talking to them? They didn't have a solid foundation. What is a solid foundation? It is the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. It's the life he lived, the death he died on the cross, his burial, his resurrection, his exaltation, and his return. It is that God created everything out of nothing. It's fundamental things that our age group, as I look around, we have got a few young people in here, but I notice a lot of us have seen a lot of sunsets. Amen? We know these foundational things. I remember Miss Jenny Neal babysitting me when I was little, and the first thing we would do is she would try to teach me John 3:16 before I got to eat breakfast in the mornings. And she says, well, that might be too long for you, Wesley. Let me give you this. This is the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. Can you remember that? Jenny knew what she was working with. Amen? Scripture is profitable. But Paul's already said in verse 10, Timothy, you followed my teaching. In other words, I'm not just telling you the Bible's true. You've seen how true it is. You've seen me in Iconium and also in Lystra. Paul was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ unto salvation. They drug him outside of town. They stoned him. The disciples were standing around looking at him. He got up and walked back in town. Why? Because he believed that the gospel was so true, he says, I'll keep preaching it. Timothy saw this. His mama, his grandma, and Timothy got saved as Paul's coming through there preaching. He says, now you have followed your mama and your grandma. You've seen that they don't only believe this word, they live by it. Look back over some of the saints you've known in your life. And look at them, not when things is good, look at them when things get bad. And what do they depend on? God holding their hand, as the song goes. My mama used to say all the time, this too shall pass. This too shall pass, no matter how bad things would get. We've got to have a standard to go by, and that standard is God's word. He says here that, look, you've known these things, you've learned, but we've got to keep on learning, and we've got to remain faithful, convinced. We've got to remain holding on to the truth that we've come to believe in, the benefits of the Bible. Have you believed it? Yes. Do you still believe it? Yes. You got to become more convinced of the Bible being true and Christ's death for you being true, the harder things get. You've got to remember this. He says, from childhood you've known the sacred writings which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation, which is in Jesus Christ. One of the foundation principles is that Jesus Christ saves sinners and that there's one way to the Father, and that's through the Son. And there's one way to the Son, and that's if the Father draws you to the Son. Jesus gave you his word. I'm going to send someone to save you. Then he sent Jesus and he said, this is he. Jesus died for our sins and was buried. God raised him from the dead to prove that Jesus won the victory over sin and death for us. How do I know I'm saved? Jesus got out of the grave. How do I know I'm going to live with Jesus? He said I was. My Aunt Claire was 93 years old. And she told me one time, she says, I know you're going to do well. She says, I can remember my daddy at the supper table every night praying that the Lord would give the Hardys five generations of preachers so that they could teach the next generation to follow him. She said, you're that fifth generation. She says, I've seen God fulfill that in every generation that come along. When she passed away, they asked me to preach her funeral and open her Bible, and it was wore out and tethered, and I don't know if this is her fifth one or her sixth one. In the front of it, she had written in there in an ink pen in big letters, "I cannot remember a time that I didn't believe in Jesus Christ. And I am convinced that he can keep that which I have entrusted to him." She's like, "My life, I know where it's going." See, this is what Paul is saying. You got to teach your children and the next generation the foundational principles of the Bible. Not what your opinion is, not what everybody else tells you you're to be teaching your children. You got to be teaching your children what God says. Why did he choose Abraham? In Genesis, God tells us so that he would teach his children. Moses told the Israelites just before he died to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your might, and to know that the Lord your God is one God. There's no other gods. One God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He says, and teach that to your children. When? When you sit down, when you eat, when you walk about. All the time. We have to teach others the foundational principles, and to do that, we got to know them. And then he tells Timothy here, he says, so here's what you got to do. If you're going to continue learning Scripture, and if you're going to remain convinced that this is the truth, this is the standard, this is the goal, this is the line, this is what you measure everything else about. If you like Facebook, I'm not going to ask who does. Y'all might raise your hand for that, and I understand that some of you didn't raise your hand about salvation a while ago. TikTok, I think is the name of it. I don't know. There's so many of them out there. When you're reading all that stuff, you've got to have a standard, a line to go by that you can draw in the sand and say, how do you know that? Well, I read it right there on my phone. Well, how do you know it's true? Oh, because they said it. Well, that ain't good. You compare it to what God says. I'll give you an example. Right up the road here, the way I come to church a lot of times, there's a lot of building going on, and somebody had already moved in, and they were building a building. And the first time I saw it after they got the rafters on it, I pulled up. Didn't have any sheeting on it or anything like that. They just had the ridge going across there, and it was looking off. I could see it off in the sky, and I pulled up there, and I looked at it, and I said, I ought to go over there and talk to them guys. They're working on that house, you know. But they had a big fence up around about 2 acres there, you know, privacy fence. I said, well, you know, time's now. I shouldn't go over there and bother them. Well, about a week later, me and Mona, my wife, we pulled up, same stop sign. I looked over there, and I said, you know, the Lord probably going to get me one day, honey. She said, for what? I said, for not going over there and telling them what is wrong with the ridge on that shed. And you know how I know? Because one time, my daddy used to build houses, and I used to work for him, and he pulled up, and he used to smoke a cigar, and the cigar got real red when he's breathing in and out. Now, when that happened, I knew that I had done something wrong. Learned that early in life. He gets out, and he says, what's wrong with that ridge? I don't know. It's low, in the middle. And then he had me put a string on the inside of the wall and see that the walls had spread out, and that let the roof drop down. Then he had me put a string on the ridge to see how much it had dropped down. And then a string on the box, and to see how when it dropped down, the rafters pushed out. He said, it's going to mess up the looks of the top of the roof, the inside of the house, and the boxing's going to have a bobble in it. And then he showed me how to pull in the walls, and it straightened everything up when I pulled them into that line. That's what God's word is. When life starts getting all messed up, this will fix your roof, your insides, and any bobbles you have. But you know the problem we have? Same problem this old sinner had. I didn't want to go bother them people because I figured they'd say, preacher, you ought not be over here telling us what to do with our house. How many loved ones have we got that their life has gone so astray that it's getting all warped out of shape? And we're afraid to tell them the answer is Jesus. Not just that you need to pray to him, but you need to start obeying him. See, Paul tells Timothy he needs to preach the word of truth. And he needs to be ready in season and out of season. He needs to exhort. He needs to reprove. He needs to rebuke with patience. And he says also with encouragement. And in verse 3 of chapter 4, he says, here's the reason why. He says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will gather around themselves or to themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. They'll turn away from the truth, and they will turn to myths, wanting to have their ears tickled. In other words, wanting to hear what makes them feel good. In other words, if you're doing something and your conscience is working on you, you know God don't want you to do it, it's a lot easier sometimes to go find somebody on Facebook that says you're doing good, you look good, everything's working out good, or go to a TV program where that everything looks okay than it is to go read God's Word and then say, Lord, I need some change here. Because here's five reasons that God's Word is beneficial to us and we need to be convinced of these truths. First of all, Paul says, here's the purpose of Scripture, and here's why Scripture is profitable or beneficial. He says, first of all, it is for teaching. That's for doctrine. Doctrine is the fundamental truths of Scripture and the reality of the way God created the world. How many people believe that God created the world? If God created it, it belongs to God. If it belongs to God, he knows how to use it so it works out for his glory and our good. He doesn't give us the Bible to put his thumb on us and make us not be happy. He gives us the Bible because no matter how everybody else is living, the best possible way we can live in any given situation is according to God's will and his way. Have you ever thought about the Israelites? God saved them and brought them out of Egypt before he gave them any rules. He didn't expect them to believe in and follow what he said till he got them out of their oppression. He got them out, and then he takes Joshua over, and Joshua's fixed across the river with the people, and he says, you need to remind them the words I gave Moses, that Moses gave to the people. They need to meditate on them night and day. They need not to let them leave their mouth. In other words, they need to be teaching them to their children. They need to be talking about them to each other. And he says, then you can be strong and courageous. You can live the life that I've saved you to live. Yet when we get to Judges, what happens? They did not teach the next generation. And Scripture says there was no king in Israel. Everybody did what was right in their own eyes. Here, Paul says that, look, all Scripture is inspired or breathed out by God. It is God's creation. It is inspired by God. It is God is truth. The Word is truth. He says it's profitable for teaching. In other words, it will give you instruction. It will teach you the fundamental truths of life, the fundamental truths that give you wisdom to be saved and the wisdom to live saved. Doctrine is the truth about what God wants me to learn. So if I'm having problems and I go reading the Bible, think about what Facebook has taught us. And I'm not all against Facebook, but the way we scroll. We read the highlights and move on to the next thing. How many people do that? I ain't got time to read all that. I see things people put all the time. I know y'all ain't reading this. If you read to the end, do this or whatever, right? So I don't read to the end. I go, right? Don't we do the same thing in the Bible? We got something going on, and we start reading the Bible, and you're like, yeah, I'm doing that, Lord. Yeah, I'm doing that, Lord. And then we get to something, we go, uh-oh, hadn't been doing that. And then I better stroll over here and find me somewhere else that says I'm doing good. Doctrine is all of it. We have to look to all of it. And then he says, reproof. Reproof is showing us error in a way. Now, if I do something really wrong, it gets pointed out to me, right? Men, how many of y'all married? Get pointed out, right? I'm picking on you, ladies. Scripture will reprove. If we have a misunderstanding, in our minds, if we're thinking wrongly, if our judgment about something, someone, or a situation is wrong, Scripture will reprove us. It will point out, look, hey, you're wrong. It might be an action. You're wrong here. Or it might be in your thinking. It might be in what you believe. Hey, you know, I believe this. But now Scripture says that God is one essence, three persons. You know, that's a big debate that just come up with a television preacher. You know, and when we read the Bible, we learn these truths. And the Bible and Scripture will correct that. And correction is when we need something corrected. In other words, I'm doing something in my life. I read God's Word, and I'm like, God ain't happy with that. I need to make some changes. Well, the Bible's real clear about change. If you're going to make a change, you got to leave something behind, right, and replace it with something else. Because guess what? Satan will always send you something to replace a habit or behavior that you're trying to leave behind. So you need to immediately replace it with something that God wants you to do. You need to correct. You need to stop. How many of you have been going somewhere and you get lost? And you think sooner or later you'll get back on the road you want to go on? When I first moved to Tennessee, I grew up around here, right? And around here, it's pretty simple. If I'm going that way and I go past my exit, basically, if I go down a little bit, take a right. I done this the other day in Raleigh. Take a right, go over, take a right, take another right. I'm back where I was, I turn back left, and I'm going back to get where I need to be, right? I got to Tennessee, and they sent me somewhere, and I was coming back, and I got on the wrong road, and I said, well, no, I need to be on Old Hickory Boulevard. So I get on Old Hickory Boulevard, and I'm thinking, well, if I keep turning, I'll get back. Well, nobody told me that Old Hickory Boulevard just keeps going in a circle around town, right? So I'm riding along, and I go by the Bat Building, and I'm like, I've seen that before, right? Something's not right here. I had to stop. Didn't have a map. Had to call somebody and say, look, y'all got to tell me how to get back to the warehouse. That's what the Bible does. Sometimes our life gets off course, and we think we'll correct it on our own. And we continue down the same path, and we try to make little bitty changes. Sometimes the Bible says, look, you need to stop. Ask for direction. Do a three-point turn, and go back the other way. Here's the problem. You've been trying to turn yourself around so long, you don't realize how far you got from God. Scripture is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. This word training is the word for instruction. Like you instruct a child. How many of you tried to teach your children to do right when they was little? You was putting a foundation there. This is the idea of training, or what does this package or this passage here say that I need to do so I've got a foundation for the future, for what God's preparing me. Did you know that when God is working His Scripture, His Word, the music into your heart, and you see you need a change, do you realize that God is preparing you for something that's going to happen next week? God says, look, something's coming. If you're going to live godly, something's coming your way. And it's going to be difficult. Today you don't think you need this, but I'm preparing you so that the man of God would be profitable for me, bring me glory. So that the man of God would be adequate. That means fitted or qualified. And he says, and equipped or completely qualified, completely outfitted for every good work. He says, I'm giving you the toolbox and the tools so when you run into this problem, you'll know how to handle it. How many would hire somebody to come into your house and fix something that's broken, and they show up and they don't have any tools, and you tell them what's broke, and they look at it and say, well, have you got a screwdriver? Have you got some tape? Have you got this? I'd be looking for somebody else to do the work. Paul says, look, Timothy, I'm leaving you here to lead these people. Here's what you need, God's word. You know, there's a lot of things we can use in Christian ministry. Speakers, sound systems, screens. But without God's word, none of this other stuff would be anything. He says, Timothy, don't you worry about it. If you got God's word, you'll be ready for whatever comes your way. And that's what I want to tell you today. If you trust in God's word, if you continue learning from it, God's word leads us to salvation, but then it leads us in sanctification to help us become more and more pleasing to God by bringing Him glory. John Piper says that God is most glorified in us when we're most satisfied in Him. If you don't really understand who God is and what He's doing for you, it's hard to be satisfied. Let us pray. Kind Fathers, we come before you this morning. I just right now, I know just about every face in here, Lord, and I believe everyone in here probably are saved. But Lord, your word is so powerful, and it gives us wisdom unto salvation. The first question I have to ask, do you know if you died today, you'd spend eternity in heaven? Do you know if your life just flew apart tomorrow, that God would be there for you and He would help you through it? Do you know that God is pleased with you because you believe in Jesus? If you don't, if you know something's missing in your life, something's not right, you just simply say, Lord, I know I've not lived life your way. I know I've done things my way. I've just rejected your word. But I believe Jesus come to this earth, was born of a virgin, and lived the life that I should have lived. He died the death I deserve, was buried, and 3 days later you raised Him, so I know that I can have not only forgiveness, but also a new life. Lord Jesus, please forgive me. Forgive me and take control of the rest of my life. If you've prayed that, raise your hand. Amen. Amen. If you're here and you're saved, my question is, are you still learning from God's word regularly? I know you are this morning. You're here for the preaching and singing of songs that are based on His word. Continue in Scripture looking for truth. Get yourself a standard that you can measure all other information that comes into your life or comes into your home. Let God's word be the standard that you measure everything by. And also, remain convinced. Are you still convinced today that God's word is completely true? Even when everyone around you is telling you that they've found a better way or a newer way. Say, Lord, I believe that your word is true and always will be true. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask Potter's Wheel if they'll come back and close us out in a song.
I think we're going to do something that everybody knows or should know. If you grew up in a Baptist church, you probably do. We do have a Methodist over there, don't we?
He's by himself. Yay! Over there.
All right. This has become our theme song, right?
That's right. We've never had a theme song before, but we decided this year we needed one. So what better song than this one? Because, you know, we're supposed to go out and share. the Word of God. We're supposed to be that light in a dark world, and we are living a dark, dark world right now. Yes. But there should be something different about us than when people see us. They're like, what's different about you? It gives you the opportunity to share Jesus with them. Just a simple smile on your face. When you have joy in your heart, which doesn't come from the outside, it comes from the inside. And when you are a Christian, you have that joy that nothing Amen. Can change. And when we have that, that should shine through our faces. And so we decided, we were at a church one Sunday, and Wendy was just kind of messing on the piano. And I said, oh, I like that one. Let's do that one. And so we potter's wheeled it up a little bit. And so we do that to our song. We potter's wheel it. And so this is how it turned out. So y'all sing with us, This Little Light of Mine.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Don't let Satan blow it out.
Praise the Lord. See, that's one lie that Satan always says. He tells Christians they can't have a good time. Amen? I pray y'all had a good time. Thank Potter's Wheel for being here, and y'all give him a big hand. And Mr. Jafar and Mr. Todd in the back running sound, thank y'all for being here also. Amen? Thank all the guests for being here. And a while ago on the prayer list, and I was going to say something then, but I kind of saved it to the end here because I know it's a difficult time for Miss Debbie, and also for Miss Joy. Keep them lifted up in your prayers. I mentioned that about Miss Debbie, but Miss Joy lost her great-grandson last week, and we prayed for him in the service that the Lord be gracious to him. You know, he was born and had a stroke during birth, and she went up to be with Casey and also Tim, And then her son, she says, it's just tough for a grown man to weep on your shoulder like he's a little boy. But I know Miss Joy has put Bible in their lives, and she went up there to be with them, and I just thank them for that. And I just want you to thank someone today that put biblical foundations in your life. You know, we can call or text people about everything else. When was the last time you text somebody and said, thank you for turning me around? You know, every time I see Miss Sybil Butler, I have to thank her, because I know where I was headed. And she just come got me by the neck and asked me what I was doing. And then she sat down and told me, not of the good times in her life. She told me about all the bad times. And she says, every time something like that happened, guess what? My God was still there with me. Call somebody today and thank them. Might be a mama, might be a grandmother, it might be a pastor, whoever it might be. It might be your spouse. Thank them for sharing God's word with you. Let us pray. Kind Father, we're not ashamed of the gospel, for we know it is the power of salvation. And Lord, we just thank you for that. And we're convinced that you will keep all that we've entrusted to you. Our life, our families, Lord, our salvation until that day, the day that Christ comes. And Lord Jesus, when you return, we know that you will reward all who love you with the crown of righteousness. We'll stand rightly before God with you. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. We still hadn't been taking up offerings, so I always forget to tell people this, but the white buckets, you can leave your offering there. Thank y'all so much. Thank you.